We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. It is a welcome back edition. I was thinking about it, T-Row. I had a couple of episodes like in the can, and I didn't schedule them correctly. So I apologize for like 7 to 8 days between podcasts. But maybe people needed a vacation from us, right? Maybe they needed a few days away.
Yeah, we're a lot for people to deal with, and they need a break from us. And so you did them a favor, I think.
We got so much that we can talk about over the summer, and most of it has to do with previewing football. But just one final time, I kind of wanted to take a look back on Diamond Sports with you, Toby. And I feel like that maybe we never really had a chance to do our in-season look back at baseball because, you know, by the time that we were doing podcasts when baseball had wrapped up, softball was already on in the Super Regionals and the Women's College World Series. But you know, Skip Johnson, we've said it a lot. You can pick the teams out across the country that were really kneecapped by COVID ending the season. And you think about Dayton basketball. You think about, from a softball, Texas softball. But Oklahoma baseball is right up there amongst those teams that just really, really having COVID affect the 2020 season hurt them. And it was a work in progress throughout the 2021 season and trying to find that right rotation. But I'll tell you what, man, they kept scratching and clawing. It was one heck of a run.
Yeah, I'm a journey guy. The journey is always
– right.
The destination isn't always where you want to land, but, boy, the journey's fun every year. And this was a fun season. There were some really high highs, and there were some disappointing moments, and they did not make it to the NCAA tournament, which is – disappointing for a program the caliber of Oklahoma. That's the goal every year, and they're going on over a decade now since they've been to Omaha, and they're really eager to get back. But they had some challenges in front of them this year because of everything you just said. A lot of inexperience on the mound with key guys, and so that bit them at times. It also resulted in a tremendous amount of experience for that youth, both on the mound and at the plate, which hopefully will benefit them on down the line. Skip talked about it several times. You know, once upon a time, Cade Cavalli and Levi Prater were those freshmen that we were throwing out there, and they were getting hit around pretty good, but they got experience, they got better and better, and then they developed into high round major league draft picks. And that's what you got to hope for. That's what has made Skip. That's what separated him as a coach through the years is the developing of guys. you know, specifically with him, pitchers. But we have seen on this coaching staff, most recent example, Tyler Hardman, that it applies to the hitters too. Recruiting is vitally important. It's the lifeblood of any college program. But you have to develop guys once they get here, no matter how many stars they had next to their name when you got them. You got to make them better. And that's what Skip has continuously done. And a lot of young guys saw a lot of playing time this year that you hope will result in them being even better next year and even better the year after that and be the cornerstones of a program that's Omaha worthy again, hopefully next year, but if not next year, very soon. So recruiting has gone well. They got some exciting guys coming in next year. They've got some really exciting guys coming back. So while they didn't end up going to the tourney, and I'm disappointed, and I know Skip is, and I know the Sooner fans are, I think there's a lot to look at and say, we see that the program's in a really good spot, and we're excited about the years to come.
I'm big time excited for him. And it's been really fun because in just watching the way things are playing out in Omaha, you know, as we tape this, we're getting set for the second game between Vandy and Mississippi State. And, you know, you miss it, right? I mean, as you mentioned, we're going on a decade since the last trip. It's a bucket list trip for a lot of people. And I know, T-Ro, I think that they've got the makings of a team over the next few years that's going to be knocking on that door.
Well, I completely agree with that. And what Oklahoma baseball wants to be is a team that is a common visitor to Omaha.
Yep.
And is consistently in the hunt for not just Big 12 titles, but national championships as well. They've won two. This is not a program that takes a back seat. You know, this is not a program that says, man, if we could just get to Omaha, that would be enough for us. They want to win national championships here. But the first thing to do is to become a team that it isn't a surprise when they get to Omaha.
Right.
And to do that, you've got to build a program. And there's a lot that is involved with that. And I think Skip's got a really really good vision here. You know, you got to be able to recruit, you got to be able to develop, you got to get the ballpark the way you want it, and we're working on that so you can recruit to that. You got to get the fan base fired up so that a home atmosphere is a home field advantage. You know, that there are some places that Oklahoma goes, like Arkansas this year, where it is a massive home field advantage for Arkansas. Texas Tech TCU have significant home field advantages. Oklahoma State with this new stadium they've built. And part of what they're trying to establish is make Eldale Mitchell Park into a great home field advantage, not just with a great park, but also with a fan base that is excited to see them and to get behind them and to, you know, quite frankly, be with the OU softball program has right now, which is packed out every night and can't get enough. And so there's a lot to be done, but I think Skip and Ryan Gaines and the coaching staff have a really good vision for all that. We've talked about it on and off the microphone, and I think that it's not something that'll happen overnight, but it's going to be a process, and I think that they've got a good vision for what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned softball, and you know we've been constantly kind of grinding at, you know, different ideas for our legacy series. We're still gonna get our Barry Switzer and Bob Stoops episodes in at some point this summer, but I kind of called an audible because I was thinking, you know, in a legacy, everyone likes to try to look back on years gone by, and I thought to myself, this season for OU softball was one that's pretty amazing. So I'm in the process. We'll be knocking that out to go really in depth on what was a wild 2021, and I think a lot of it even dates back to 2020. And as we shift Diamond Sports to softball, Toby, because I was thinking about it, and you know, you get the schedule typically in November for Diamond Sports, right? Baseball trickles out, softball is then officially released right around the last week of the college football season. We didn't get the full college softball schedule until the week before the opener. So there's so much to it, and I figured, you know, recent memory is right here. So we're putting that together. But I'm just – what a fun run that it's been for Patty Gasso. And, boy, you're right. We've got two big stadium projects that we're in the midst of right now, trying to build softball, a new stadium, and make those necessary upgrades to baseball. Both are going to be awesome when they're done, but everyone's always asking for updates. But, Toby, I know you talk to the same people that I do, and we hear that same push. It's just we're getting closer. We're getting closer. It's just that continual push for funding.
Yeah, and I hope that I hope the people will continue to keep that in the forefront of their mind, even now that the seasons are over. You know, Joe Castiglione, one of his things that he does really well is responsible when we do these building projects, not to try to put the university or athletic department in tremendous amounts of debt, but to do it in a responsible way. And we have seen, obviously, unbelievable enhancements at Owen Field and other complexes through the years. And so I think that, you know, I've said this before, I'm a part of this. I'm in. We're not just people who work for the university who say, hey, give money. I'm in. Trying to donate to you're in or trying to we're donating. We want everybody else out there to be in as well, so that these baseball and softball stadiums and these programs that we all love so much can be not just up to par with other schools in the Big 12. We're not into just being up to par at the University of Oklahoma, but elite, like, you know, the standard bearers out there. But you got it. You got to have money to build these things. And so even if it's $5 or if it's $5 million, if you've got $5 million laying around that you'd like to give, then
let's go.
By all means, you know who to call, and we can make it happen.
I love it. T-Row, a couple of other ones, because we're going to talk some Olympics here in just a second before we wrap up. But as we start shifting our focus to football, the preseason mags have rolled out. We've got a date for Big 12 Media Days in the middle of July, which are going to be in person. They moved it back to Jerry World, which is awesome. But I'm curious from your perspective to help me out with this. I'm working on a project where we're putting together a preview for football for one of our magazines. And we're trying to do things different. So I'm picking out three impact players to write about on offense, defense, and some storylines. So we'll get to the storylines in a couple weeks. We got plenty of time before football. We'll get to the offensive players. But isn't it cool when you start thinking about just trying to narrow it down to three guys on the defensive side of the football, how challenging that is? I mean, I was sitting down with a couple people the other day, and I'm like, we got to narrow this thing down to three? Because Isaiah Thomas, right? Jalen Redmond coming back. You've got at the linebacker, you got nine guys at that inside backer position, and in David Agwebu and in Brian Asamoah. Perrion Winfrey is one of the three that I mentioned. But you're right, Perrion Winfrey in the middle. Think about the safeties, right? I mean, I guess more than anything else, instead of just saying pick three guys, isn't it awesome to be having this conversation about defense and we're bragging about the depth that they have? I mean, they had to move Kenneth Murray to inside backer a couple years ago because they just didn't have anyone there. Now they got nine guys in that room. I'm really excited about what Alex Grinch has done and what this team has personnel-wise going forward. I think it's exciting.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the reason why you see so much Oklahoma is what's going on defense. I mean, it's become a given almost that Oklahoma is going to be a juggernaut offensively. But the steps that they have taken under Alex Grinch the last couple of years defensively has been remarkable. And you look at the talent and depth coming back this year, and it's very, very exciting. I'm with you. I mean, you're going to have guys that are going to have a hard time getting on the field who are outstanding football players. And there are some knowns that you've mentioned, like Isaiah Thomas and Perrion Winfrey, and Nick Benito and Brian Asamoah and guys who are known. But then there's also like Jalen Redmond. Like, you know, what if he's going to develop into a monster? Josh Ellison has had a tremendous spring. David Agwebu seems primed to take another step. There are some young guys who I think have a chance to be major factors early, like a DJ Graham, like a Latrell McCutcheon or a Billy Bowman, or, you know, what about the transfer, Key Lawrence from Tennessee, or Justin Harrington, and, you know, on and on and on, Brendan Walker and Shane Witter, and, you know, so it's, there's probably 20 to 25 guys that you can say, oh yeah, but what about that guy? You know, what about Woody Washington? What about Jaden Davis? Oh, don't forget Delarian Turner Yell and Pat Fields, who have a tremendous amount of experience. So he's done it. I mean, he has Alex Grinch has developed the depth of frontline talent that you need to be able to win, not just conference championships, but national championships as well. Or at least we think that he's given them a better shot. They got to go do it.
Yep.
But in that, we all know the issue in recent years when they've gotten to that Final Four, when they've gotten to the playoff, is they didn't have a defense quite good enough to get them over the hump. Well, it looks like maybe now they do. So I think that's why everybody's excited.
So with that in mind, here's the three that I picked to write about. Perrion Winfrey, because I just, you know me, I'm into the mock draft world, and he's already being projected as a first-round guy after this season. I chose Nick Benito just because I think that's a guy who's going to be challenged with Ronnie Perkins now having moved on. And I know he was very successful playing without Ronnie at times last year. And you mentioned one of the guys, Billy Bowman. I'm just fascinated by this dude who, if you go back to our signing day coverage, T-Row, the guy that I interviewed when we talked about Billy Bowman was Cale. It was Cale Gundy, yeah. And we were talking about him at that inside receiver position, and it looks like defense won the recruiting battle. And, you know, I wasn't front and center at the spring game, but I hear he and Marvin Mims had some battles now. And I think he's got a chance to be a guy that's going to play a lot this year.
Well, yeah, I think he might start. I think he probably will start at that nickel spot, or at least have a very good shot at it. And I think you picked three solid picks. I think Nick Benito's got a chance to be a first-team All-American type guy this year. Perrion Winfrey has a chance to be one of the top three or so defensive tackles in America this year, an absolute game wrecker up the middle. And I think Billy Bowman's a wild card,
yep,
that if he can lock down that corner or that nickel spot and be a playmaker there, and we saw glimpses of that in the spring game of what a difference he can make, then that changes a lot. That changes a lot for this defense if he can be that type of a guy. I think, you know, beyond just defense, I think he might be a special teams weapon for them as well. So you picked three great picks, and you left about 20 on the table.
That's a great point.
It have been really hard to get that one wrong.
Yeah, which is kind of cool to say. We'll talk offense next week. All right. Hey, Toby, Mark Williams is going to join us real quick after the break. But before he does, I know you talk to Coach Williams a lot. It's exciting to see Yul Moldauer, a guy we watched inside McCaslin Fieldhouse win national championships, now go on to fight for Olympic gold. And Alan Bauer is a potential, you know, fill-in guy. I mean, this is – boy, what Coach Williams has done is pretty special, and it gives us a little bit more rooting interest in Tokyo, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's always fun when a Sooner is able to be a part of the Olympic Games, and it's such a special accomplishment for them.
Yeah,
just to add that you were an Olympian and that you got to be, you know, part of the opening ceremonies and to compete on that stage is remarkable. In that sport, specifically in gymnastics, it's so prestigious and so many eyeballs that it's life-changing for some of those guys. And it's very cool for us as Sooner fans to get to say, you know, not only are we rooting for the red, white, and blue, but also the crimson and cream when they're out there. And Yul Moldauer had a phenomenal career at OU. And, you know, the whole time you thought, I think that guy's an Olympian, right? I mean, that guy's got to – he's that good. He's going to be an Olympian. And sure enough, he was able to pull it off. So I can't wait. I'm sure there will be some nerves, but I mean, that's what Mark Williams does.
Yeah.
I mean, he recruits the best. They win national championships while they're here, and then they go to the Olympics. I mean, that's the juggernaut he has built. And it's not surprising at all. I mean, he's the man in this sport, and he's done it again.
Love it. T-Row, have a great week, buddy. We'll get back on the regular schedule. Talk to you next week.
See you, Chris Plank.
So let's talk a little gymnastics. Mark Williams is next.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
First of all, so take me through now what's next for Yule and kind of what the preparation – you coached an Olympic team before. So what's the preparation like for these gymnasts now as they prepare for Tokyo?
Well, the next official event for the Olympic team is getting together for a camp held at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. They'll bring together the four-man team, the plus ones, and the alternates for basically a preparation camp where they go through a day of like the four up, three count scenario, and then a second competition of three up, three count that'll be used at the Olympic Games in the prelims and the final for the team event. So this week is sort of about recovery and sort of getting your body prepared for that next week of two competitions. After that, there's only about 4 or 5 days after returning from camp before I believe the departure date for Tokyo is July 15th. So it's all coming up pretty quickly.
So we know Yule's in. I heard you talking about this earlier on local radio. What is Alan's role now? Is it just to always be ready? Is it a specific event? What's kind of his role going to be now going forward for Alan Bauer?
He'll be in the group of alternates. Because of the COVID year, they've actually selected an additional four guys that could go in as an entire team if there was some kind of a COVID or tracing issue with the four guys on the team. So Alan could go in either as a replacement to an individual athlete if there was an injury, or the whole squad could be replaced if there was something that happened from COVID. So they're just trying to be very careful about all the protocols and being prepared for anything. And as it is, Alan's going to be going to the camp, be a part of the whole selection of that preparation, and going to Tokyo. However, the team will actually go into the village while the alternates will go to Funabashi, where there's another training facility that we've had some other camps at. So they'll be within about a 40-minute train ride to come in if needed.
I think the question on a lot of Sooners fans' minds then is, Mark, what's Yule's chances? As you know, we're all looking for reasons to be even more invested as Oklahoma fans in men's gymnastics, not only with you coaching, but now Yule and Alan being a part of this gives us a major reason. What do we see as his chances to potentially come away with a medal?
Well, he was a bronze medalist in 2017 on floor exercise. You know, and since then, he's maybe changed his routine a little bit where there's a little bit more difficulty. But he'd have to basically in prelims stick every landing to get into finals. I mean, he has the potential to do it on that event. I think the other events are a little bit harder in terms of just what the rest of the world is doing in terms of difficulty. Some events like pommel horse and rings are just way out there. Like some guys are doing maybe a point more difficulty than anybody that's on the U.S. Olympic team. And there's guys that are specialists and they just do one event always, you know, mm-hmm. So it's kind of a different thing to make it onto an individual event nowadays. But I do think that the team has the potential to make it into the team finals. And in finals, anything can happen because it's a three up, three count scenario. And, I'd say it would be a success for the men to be anywhere between, you know, second and eighth. It's unlikely that they make the podium this time with Japan, Russia, China being really the favorites, but, I'd say they have a good shot of at least getting into the team finals and possibly if other teams faltered, you know, maybe being able to move it onto the podium that way.
How excited are you? And I guess maybe excited is the word, Mark, to be able to have Oklahoma gymnastics and college gymnastics in that have such a positive impact on the U.S. Olympic team. How much does that mean for this school and the sport?
Well, it means a lot to me. I definitely want to bring in guys that we can take to their highest potential. And that was one of the things I talked to Yule about, 5-6 years ago when I was recruiting him, that I felt like he had the potential to make it to the Olympic Games, and we've done it in the past and know how to get him there. And you know, I really feel proud that, you know, we've been able to follow through on that promise to him. And so it's certainly part of what we tell any guy that's coming to our program, that, you know, we'll try to get you to your goals and reach your highest potential. And if your ceiling is making it to the Olympic Games, then, you know, so far in the last 12, 16 years, we've put somebody on the Olympic team from Oklahoma each year.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of, for me, it's the daily grind of getting them in a position to go to the Olympic trials like Yule and then have a great day like he did and reach that goal.
Yule Moldauer has made the men's Olympic gymnastics team. We're talking to Mark Williams, the head OU men's gym coach. How have you been able to do it, Mark? I know that this is maybe more of one of those rocking chair questions that we ask, you know, in 20 years from now when you're retired and out as a scratch golfer, probably not even scratch by then, probably under par consistently. But, I mean, how has this been able to keep rolling the way that you've had it rolling at Oklahoma with just the consistent success of men's gym and, as you mentioned, constantly elevating guys to the Olympics team? What's been the key for you?
Well, I think originally I just wanted to feel like I was working harder than everybody else, you know, so just figuring out how to be a head coach and then the second part was being surrounded by people that also had, you know, the passion for doing the sport. I hired coaches from China, Japan, Ukraine. I was trying to get the best of the best to be around the athletes, including what knowledge I had. And I kind of borrowed everybody else's thinking and tried to put together a whole, you know, program, which try to elevate these guys to compete internationally, you know, and not just about college gymnastics. So, I took the parts from around the world that we could fit into a system that, you know, guys had to work hard, and we were able to meet success along the way and keep building and building. And so I don't know that when I started that I had any idea that we'd have these kind of successes, but I just wanted to make sure that nobody else was working harder than we were.
Love it. What's your role going to be after coaching back in, 2016 in Rio? Mark, what's going to kind of be your role now looking ahead to Tokyo?
Well, my job is going to be taking care of Alan Bauer, since I'll be with him in Funabashi and working with the alternates. When we're at the camp, you know, a lot of times at this point, I'm kind of the oldest member that's been a part of so many Olympic teams that they come to me with, hey, what do we do here? And what do you suggest we do for our training plan? And what happens when we get there? And all those kinds of questions. But, you know, officially, I'm just going to be Alan's coach and there to help support Yule.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast, The Game Plan. We'll talk to you later this week when Meg McDonald sits down with Yule Moldauer and we have our official Farewell Adios podcast with Jessica Coody, all coming up this week right here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Until then, have a great week, and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.